is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you today as we continue our series of Gone Berserk. Gone Berserk. How the leaders of the so-called Christian establishment absolutely gone stark, raving mad with their false teachings and their shenanigans and their incredible clown-like behavior? I believe, sadly, that is the case. We're going to continue today with this series. Write to us, and of course, we always appreciate your love gifts, your tithes, your offerings to this ministry. We are a church, and we are a ministry that is preaching this message across the world, and we thank you for your kind support for our activities. Now, our main goal, of course, is to reach people through the power of radio. And at the same time, we have various activities. We have an orphanage that we support, some young people there periodically, and many of you have given to that cause, and it is a great cause. And we're just going to continue to do whatever God tells us to do. But our main goal is to glorify the Lord with this radio message going across the world. Bible Home Church, because the Bible should be the centerpiece of your home. And why should that be so? Because Jesus is the centerpiece of the Bible. And so make Jesus a welcome guest in your home by having his word in your home and reading it regularly and often. That's our message. And Jesus, in fact, has been called, and is not by accident. In John chapter 1, he's called the Word of God. Oh, there's a lot of meaning packed into that. I want to have a series sometime called the Word of God. He literally is the Word. Now, the Greeks had a great meaning for that, and John knew that, and that's why I believe he used that word. Because to them, the Word was such a powerful, all-inclusive word that it included the whole world. Now, of course, Jesus is not the material things of this world. He created them. But I believe many people back during John's time understood that if Jesus was the Word of God and was with God from the beginning and was God, then there could only be one deity. That was the true meaning of that. And, of course, he was the deity who, with his own words, created this universe. The Word of God. Now, that's pretty powerful when you can create galaxies with just the use of words out of your mouth. But, of course, it could also have been just simply out of his mind. In other words, just God's imagination. You know, we're warned to watch out for the imagination of men, but God thinks something and it can be. We'd appreciate so much your supporting our ministry with your love gifts, your tithes, your offerings. But even if you don't, I know you can pray for us. And would you write to us and let us know you're praying for us? We'd appreciate that. And if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? Yes, we want you to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. How about that? And God answers prayers today. He really does. He's on the throne. He has a crown upon his head. You know, a lot of people don't believe that Jesus Christ is in heaven today with a crown, with a throne. They're all mixed up. Some say he won't have his crown and his throne until he comes back to earth and is king over the Jews. That's a pretty sick thought to me. My friends, let me tell you, when he comes back, When he comes back again, the Bible says, please read all the way from Revelation 19 to 21. It says he is going to come back with a crown on his head, and he is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know where these Judaizers get such silly trash as to believe that Jesus is in heaven today, but he's not our king. I read that recently in one of these Judaizer type so-called Christian newspapers, and I almost cried. They've dethroned Jesus. Well, you can't dethrone Jesus, but they're trying because of their belief in, well, really, they're just Judaizers. That's all they are. The Bible warned us about believing in Jewish fables. Because you see, to God, you're not a Jew or a Gentile once you accept him. That's just a little mystery of life. A lot of people can't understand that. Well, his name is Goldstein. He's got to be a Jew. No, he doesn't have to be a Jew. My name is Mars. What am I? You say you don't know? I've never told you on the air what nationality or what race I am. Well, you've seen my picture. I'm just an Anglo-Saxon. Maybe, maybe not. I don't consider myself a certain race anymore because I'm part of a holy nation. That's right. I'm a peculiar people. I'm part of a royal priesthood, in fact. I'm of the Israel of God. I belong to Jesus. That's my family. And you know, he has brought in people from many nations to be part of his family, hasn't he? That's right. And if you don't like people of all nations, if you hate people other than your race, well, I suppose you're going to be very unhappy in heaven because you don't even know what race we're going to be, except we're all going to be of God, of that holy nation, God's chosen. That's right. I doubt if we're going to be black or white or red or brown anymore. I seriously doubt that because we're going to be given an immortal body. And it remains to be seen what it will be like. I suspect it'll be some spirit thing. A lot of people are saying it'll be like a pure crystal. Boy, what a body that would be. You know, before the devil fell, Ezekiel tells us that he had a beautiful body. Wow. In fact, did you know that his body was created to be a musical instrument? Some people theorize that he was like a choir director up in heaven. But he had the instruments in his own body. His body was literally created with musical instruments built inside. And then he had all of these stones, rubies and pearls and diamonds and jasper and topaz. Can you imagine a body made up of beautiful stones? Wow. But then sin, evil, wickedness was found in him. I believe God punished the devil. I believe today he is foul and ugly and grotesque and abominable. I do. I really do. I believe that. You know, we really don't know. I suspect he's not red with a forked tail and horns, but he could be. Maybe the old timers were right in the way they picture the devil. He was until, Ezekiel says, until wickedness, until sin was found in him, he was a beautiful creature. And I think God actually changed his appearance. He looks different. He is just evil, and he looks evil. He looks heinous. I don't think God let him keep his comely, beautiful appearance. He lost that. He did. And I believe the tale of the witch. You know, the witch is supposedly beautiful and sexy and all of that. But later she gets old. She becomes the old crone, riding the broomstick, hook nose, horrible wrinkles, just pitifully wicked and ugly. I believe that's the story of the devil. He started out beautiful, but sin was found in him, and he's ended up grotesque and ugly. That's what sin will do to you, my friends. It will scar your heart. It will make your heart an ugly thing to God. You don't want that. You don't want to go berserk like so many in society today, even calling themselves Christian leaders have done. And that's why we're exposing these things. Have no part with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says. Got a beautiful song for you before we begin today's message. It's from the Cathedrals. Oh, we've been having several songs from them. What have we got on the docket over here today, Sandra? Oh man, this is one of my favorite songs. Thanks to Calvary. You know, a lot of us one time were bad people. One time, in times past, you could have been a bad, bad person. A wicked, foul, despicable man or woman. But you know, once you come to know Jesus Christ, you're a changed person. You're a new creature. And some people have gone back to see their family after they've changed and become a Christian. And you know, their family doesn't even recognize them. I believe that. Family doesn't even understand them. They speak a wholly different language. They're a different person. I'm absolutely a believer that God can change lives. In fact, if you became a Christian and you were the same person the next day, well, you didn't become a Christian. I believe you do change. Now, the devil will try to reconfigure you and bring you back to the way you were. He'll say, you really didn't change. You're not a new person. You're just an imposter. You're a fake. And that's when you need to rear up and say, get out of here. Get thee behind me, Satan. I am a new person. I'm going on with God. I'm not looking back. The devil will try to bring you back. Look at what you used to be. That's the way you really are today. That's what he'll tell you. And you know, there's an old saying that I've always liked. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind the devil of his future. And I think that'll resolve things just real quick between you and the devil. Other than that, don't spend too much time on him. Spend the time that you need to on God, and he'll take care of the devil. Just say, the Lord rebuke you. And I think that's sufficient warning for the devil to leave you alone. Hey, here's Because of Calvary with the Cathedrals, and then we're going to have our message for today. Another portion, you might say, of Gone Berserk.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them,
thanks to Calvary,
I don't come here anymore.
Thanks to Calvary,
I am not the man that I used to be. Things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them,
thanks to Calvary,
we don't come here anymore. Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, oh little boy, don't be afraid, because you've got a brand new daddy now.
Thanks to Calvary,
we don't live here.
That's right.
Anymore.
Thanks to Calvary,
I am not the dad that I used to be.
Thanks to Calvary,
things are different than before.
Joe, while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell my little boy. I said, son, thanks to Calvary.
Thanks to Calvary.
We don't live here. No, thank God. We don't live here anymore.
People sometimes say to me, how could I quit being an alcoholic? I don't even tell them to ask Jesus to get alcohol out of their life. After ascertaining or determining that they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I say, return to Jesus. And he'll tell you what to do. Isn't that wonderful, my friends? You can't quit smoking? Well, are you following Jesus? Well, no. Well, forget about trying to quit smoking. You can't quit smoking! First, return to Jesus. And then, I tell you something. That old tobacco weed, it can't defeat God. It can defeat you. Alcohol can defeat you. But it can't defeat God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, let's continue with Gone Berserk here. I can understand then why Dobson and Colson have recommended Potter books. Now, it's an interesting thing. The very next month, Dobson put out a magazine from Focus on the Family, and it said, parents, watch out for the Harry Potter books. They're not all good. One month, they're good. The next month, they're not. I call that double-mindedness. But I'm glad he said anything negative at all in exposing these books. I thank James Dobson for that even. Well, got a magazine called Touchstone, had an article, June 2000, about San Francisco's Episcopal Bishop William Swing. He swings to Jesus and he swings to God. Well, the article doesn't say that, but I'm just telling you the facts about it. His name is Swing, William Swing. And he's brought together hundreds of leaders of the world's religions, spiritualities, and traditions to attend the signing of the first United Religions Initiative. Sort of like a United Nations of Religion. Kofi Annan, UN Secretary General, said he was happy to see it. The Dalai Lama of Tibetan Buddhism said he was thrilled. The idea is to form a permanent assembly with the stature and visibility of the United Nations, encompassing all religions, spiritual expressions, and indigenous, that means native, traditions. It's what Bishop Swing has got going here. It's sort of like all the devil's religions coming together, all the birds of prey, from the vultures to whatever, coming together as one. Well, we continue with Gone Berserk. Get this news. From London, England. From Agency French Press. A transsexual vicar. The Church of England is pleased to announce that a transsexual vicar has become the first Church of England priest. He changed his sex. He was a man. Now he's resumed his job the very next day as a woman. And he has the blessing of his bishop. The Reverend Peter Stone, the vicar at St. Philip's Church, Upper Stratton, Swindon, Western England, had the operation. Afterwards, he told a press conference he will resume his position, but he now is the Reverend Carol Stone. He was Peter Stone, he's now Carol Stone. Said he wanted to be female since he was a small child. And said he was very relieved at having received the blessing of the Bishop of Bristol for his plans. This has been a lifetime's journey, he said. A lifetime journey. Friends, you're not there yet, but hell does await you on your journey if you continue with this. Stone, who is twice divorced, said his 18-year-old daughter fully understood his decision. Stone is now dressing as Carol. He dresses as a woman.
I'm sure he gives some great messages there at his church. Oh, my. Well, let's see. Here's a letter I've got recently from a person. Dear Brother Mars, please help me. The church I'm going to has a strange teaching, but since so many people there do not use the King James Bible, I think they've fallen for the pastor's false teaching. Here's what he is saying. The pastor says that after Jesus died on the cross, he went to hell and became the possession of the devil. He was tortured in hell for 3 days before the devil would release him. Then Jesus became born again, and only through becoming born again did he have the power to defeat the devil. What do you think about this teaching? Well, I think it's from hell. It's about hell, and it is from hell. Friends, let's put it this way. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. They're one. You can't separate one. Jesus is holy God. The Bible also says that Jesus is the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead is Jesus in Jesus bodily. Now, friends, the devil has never taken possession of God, which is Jesus, and tortured him for 3 days. It has never happened. God has never been dethroned. Now, did Jesus on the cross, when he died in physical form, I shouldn't say he died, but when he commended his spirit to God, and Jesus said, it is finished, what did happen to Jesus? Friends, the Bible says very clearly that his spirit went to hell. And let me tell you, the Bible says clearly that the devils were not very happy seeing Jesus down there. In fact, it says he triumphed over the devil. He preached to the spirits in hell. Now, friends, please understand. Now, I want to preach a whole sermon on this in the future. But the fact is that Jesus was never possessed by the devil. And he was not tortured by the devil. He went down there and triumphed, the Bible says. How could Jesus be born again? You can't be born again if you're God. You are. You're not born again. It's an impossibility. Another false teaching. A pastor gone berserk. Received some information about a speaker who spoke at the recent Global Gathering 2. Now, this was sponsored by the United Methodist General Board of Global Ministries. Oh, that sounds highfalutin. Well, this speaker urged people not to revere the baby Jesus as any big deal. He said all the world should, children should be viewed equally as little messiahs. The speaker was a woman, a theologian, called Nancy Pereira, a Methodist theologian, and she said, quote, we have to stop praising Jesus' cross. She went on to say, we have to look at Jesus' cross as a tragedy, a human episode without any meaning. You know, friends, this woman claims to be a minister. Well, I know that's not true because the Bible says that women shouldn't teach men. And I'm just old-fashioned enough to still believe the Bible. But here she is in the Methodist Church. They've gone so antichrist, it's unbelievable now. She says we have to stop praising Jesus' cross. We have to look at Jesus' cross as a tragedy, a human episode without any meaning. Friends, this person is not a Christian. Don't think these kind of people are Christians. They're on TV. They're in the news all the time. They're not Christians. They're fakes. And they're crazy. They're insane. And they're pretenders to the throne. About 4,000 Methodists from around the world attended the event. Meanwhile, Christian News newspaper reports that a Roman Catholic bishop, Thomas Gumbleton, Bishop of Detroit, Michigan, is encouraging homosexual priests and bishops to come out of the closet. He said, "We need you and your leadership role in the church." Well, I can understand that. The Catholic Church needs all the homosexual priests it can get. I mean, you know, some surveys have shown that up to 80% of all Catholic priests are queer. But they want 100%, I guess. I don't know. Evidently, not all of them have come out of the closet. Maybe if they came out of the closet, the surveys would show 100% are queer. I don't know. I doubt it, though. I think there are a few men left in the Catholic Church. I'm not sure about that. This was in a speech given to 650 participants at a symposium for homosexual Catholics. Now, isn't that fascinating? Queers, please come out of the closet. We need you to let people know you're a homo so you can be a proper leader in our Catholic parishes. Oh, yes.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.